high school football, college football, and the NFL. We're broadcasting games at all three levels and breaking it all down. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final hour of the program here on a Thursday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. Time now for TigerNet Thursdays with Grayson Mann, who's in studio. Grayson, excited to have you here as we do every Thursday. Excited to talk some Clemson football, man. How we doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's always a good day to be in the studio. A couple days away from this Chapel Bill experiment. Get to see it up close. I'm intrigued. I'm excited. It's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go, that's for sure. So you're going to be making the trip up to Chapel Hill, yes?
Tomorrow, and I'll be on a Tiger pregame with Qualk Saturday morning.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. Definitely want to tune into that right here on The Roar. All right, Grayson, let's rip the Band-Aid off and let's hop right into it with the Clemson football discourse. 654-ROAR if you have questions for myself or Grayson. Just start out with what has the last week plus looked like in your world, and what has it looked like to be on the beat during this process?
Yeah, I think it's a real interesting experience to cover a team that we're in October, and we're talking about portal quarterbacks. We're talking about if this team can make a bowl. What are the expectations now that they're 1-3? I think it's a jarring experience, but I gotta say, it's been pretty fascinating. I expected it to be the total opposite, but I think in Clemson's case, they never were going to be uninteresting in this spot, especially with this being the first time in Sweeney's tenure that they're 1-3. There's so many different questions we can delve into, so many different topics. So I've had a great time. I know it hasn't been great for the fan base necessarily, but covering a team that's starting to pick up the pieces and entering a new phase of this program, it's been a real exciting chapter.
So talk to me a little bit about the quarterback situation,
yeah,
because that's been the topic of itinerary here today on the program. It's been the topic of itinerary throughout the course of the season with this program. And the first text we got for you is, are there any talks about getting reps for Christopher Vezina? What is the picture that you can illustrate on the quarterback situation right now in Tigertown?
Yeah, so we've been asking, and I've been saying publicly, about what is going to be the situation at quarterback with Christopher Vezina. Obviously, Cade Klubnik, the quarterback that was almost in certain windows selected to be the number one overall quarterback to go in the 2026 NFL draft in the preseason, now has his job up for discussion, and his play obviously hasn't been there. So the natural thought is, when are we going to see 17 trot on the field and get some snaps to try to rejuvenate this offense into something that fans expected it to be? And he hasn't been out there. And so that leads to a lot of questions of what's going on behind the scenes. What does this tell us about 2026 and beyond? Because theoretically, Christopher Vezina is going to be your starting quarterback in 2026, barring a transfer portal move, barring some injury. But I think then this grand experiment we've been talking about, getting data for 2026, and I think the big picture that maybe I've missed or maybe others is, what if that big picture's already been decided? What if that data's already been decided on by the coaching staff? It's been pretty bad for this offense. Klubnik hasn't performed up to the expectation. And I look back to a Pittsburgh matchup in 2021 where DJ was benched for Tyson Pumachan, as you had mentioned to me off air. He's not playing football anymore.
Yeah.
So Sweeney has the precedent of pulling the trigger late. Sweeney didn't do it in 22 when the fans were clamoring for Cade Klubnik to start back then, when Uyunglele had his struggles against Syracuse. There was that trip to Notre Dame that didn't go so well. Cade came in and threw a really bad pick. And so you kind of saw, okay, he's probably not ready just yet. And it only came out to the ACC championship when it was that 5-yard out to Antonio Williams that DJ couldn't even complete, and Sweeney decided to pull the trigger then and there. So there is precedent for Sweeney pulling the quarterback when they are ready, and the staff's had years of data on Vezina. It's jarring because we got such positive reviews from Sweeney in the summer, and so now it's just been what's happened between scrimmage number two and the practices between then and now. So I think that the staff's gotten a lot of data on Vezina. If they haven't started him now, I'm not sure they will. And so it's a matter of riding out Klubnik in these final games. And I do think it trends towards a picture of Clemson shopping in the portal this offseason.
Yeah, and you know that seems to be the indications that we're getting, at least as of right now, as we continue to visit with Grayson Mann from TigerNet as a part of TigerNet Thursdays. All right, we talked quarterback. Let's talk about some of those depth pieces at running back. It's also been a big topic of discussion, and I feel like when you start 1-3 with the lofty expectations that this team, this program had coming into the year, you kind of set yourself up in a position where the majority of the fans seem to be taking the demeanor of all hands should be on deck. We should be getting a look at the younger players. We should be getting a look at some of the backups. Nobody's job should be safe. And while I agree with some of that, Adam Randall has continued to be the mainstay for this team, really the bright spot and the lone bright spot at times offensively. So how do you see the running back snap share kind of being divvied up as we go forward throughout this Clemson football season? And with that being said as well, talk to me a little bit just about when are we going to see Gideon Davidson break onto the scene? Because that seems to be the guy that the fan base is just captivated with and feels like deserves more playing time.
Yeah, let's start with the why, and sort of we can use the same point that we illustrated with why Vezina is not seeing the field, and it's the same reason that Davidson and Ezi Amume aren't seeing the field, and we've seen examples of them on the field, and we had a conversation with Ezi Amume over the summer about where he was, and he felt like he was swimming with the sharks last year in terms of the playbook and understanding what it takes to be a college tailback. So you have this rotation, or I think the idea of a rotation, and we've seen Davidson out there. LSU game completely misses a block. He's have really struggled with that pass pro and tried to ID his keys. And so there's a reason why Adam Randall's getting the lion's share of the carries. And quite frankly, Adam Randall hasn't been the problem. I know that when you're 1-3, things continue to feel like they're all crunching in. You're feeling claustrophobic. You got to make a move. I don't think all of a sudden benching Adam Randall and throwing Davidson out there, who, as we've seen so far, hasn't looked the greatest out there. It's going to be a process with someone in that position. There's so many different nuances to it. So I think, when will we see getting Davidson? Probably later. Definitely not now. Randall hasn't necessarily, I know the turnovers, if you had to make one criticism, I think you and I talked last week about grades, couldn't give Adam Randall an A, because that's really just been the running back position, because he's had some backbreaking turnovers. But overall, he's still averaging over 5 yards a carry. He's been the spark plug for an offense where, in big moments, he stepped up. The 3rd-and-20 against Georgia Tech, Troy in the second half, Syracuse, he played really well, although couldn't give him the balls much once you're down 33-14. So I don't think that's the answer that suddenly fixes this offense as you throw in Gideon Davidson. He's talented, but he's got to put it all together, and he's got to find the understandings of what Garrett Riley and CJ Spiller want him to do.
All right, let's talk a little wide receiver. Wesco has been the cream of the crop this year as far as the wide receivers go. Antonio Williams, we have a limited sample size. We've only seen him play one full game to date, and he wasn't 100% in that one full game. TJ Moore, I would characterize his performance thus far as a little bit disappointing. I am willing to give him a little bit of grace because I think a lot of that is QB-induced. Like, there have been times where one is open and he's just not getting the ball, which I know can be really frustrating. I think TJ, the last 2 weeks, has done a really good job of blocking down the field and being a real staple in the run-blocking game. So it's been great to see him turn things around from that perspective. But Tristan Smith seems to be captivating the attention of most fans, or rather the exclusion of Tristan Smith. Do you think the big play that he made against Syracuse with some yards after the catch and getting fired up is going to buy him a little bit more playing time going forward, or are you anticipating a similar workload amongst the wide receivers up in Chapel Hill?
I don't think fans should probably get their hopes up about that suddenly switching after one play. It is, after all, it was a great play, but it is just one, and it's a vacuum that I think fans were desperate for a positive in that fourth quarter. And so to see Tristan Smith mollywop a Syracuse defender into the earth's crust, juke out another one. So fans are like, oh, here we go. That's the one play we've been looking for. But it's just one. And so there's a full body of work that Smith's putting in behind the scenes. And to be fair, this is sort of what you brought him in to be as a depth piece. Now, I think if you were you and me out there, you want to probably see him probably 10, 15 more snaps on the field. And there have been times where he's been on the field, just hasn't gotten the ball. And so there's just a matter of that. It all goes down to, is he running the right routes? Is he understanding the right zone? Is the call here, you're supposed to stay in this specific spot of the field to open up maybe something over the top for Wesco or Moore? There's so many different nuances there. I do agree with you there with TJ Moore. Disappointing to probably had you characterize that. But the last two games, he's been a lot more, I think, body language locked in, to use that phrase.
Yeah.
The blocking's been a lot better. That block on Wesco is as good as it gets, and Sweeney, every chance he gets to talk about wide receivers and blocking, he'll rave about it.
That's why Clemson was so good in 2016 and 2018.
Those jokers could block.
Yeah, like T. Higgins is the most underrated blocker in the history of the planet Earth. I promise you that. But
it doesn't get talked about enough.
No, it doesn't.
Because you have those outside runs that Travis Etienne used to have all the time. he's bursting out there because T. Higgins has put a cornerback. They're basically the bouncers of the club, and they're throwing him out.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. Let's talk a little O-line. I don't want to talk too much about tight end because they don't necessarily get targeted anyways. But I will say this. O-line is a position group where we see more fluctuation in rotation than most, right? It feels more rational and logical to say, hey, we should see this player instead of this player at this position on the O-line in comparison to saying, hey, we need to bench the quarterback, right? There's less collateral when you rotate on the O-line. Are we anticipating to see any of these younger pieces? Do you think Lee and Miller is still anticipated to be the tackle combination, Sadler, Sewell? What's the latest on the offensive line for Clemson that's been rather lackluster thus far?
It was really fascinating yesterday to talk to Matt Luke and sort of pick his brain on where this offensive line has been. And I asked him, has it been up to that product that they've hoped for? And he mentioned the cohesion and the injuries, specifically to Tristan Lee, that have sort of put this offensive line rotation in flux where you've really kind of put your chips down on these two tackles living up to that performance. And I think when Lee's been in there, it hasn't been perfect. And the rotation's fascinating to me, Faxon, because for me, I'm a big cohesion guy. I like having my same starting five out there. I know that you have a guy like Walker Parks who's a little bit more weathered when it comes to injuries and just the wear and tear on his body. I remember watching him, I think it was Troy in that second half. And he looks like he's really weathering out there. He's labored, but that guy's fighting out there. Offensive line's been fine. Underwhelming, I think, is the right word. Braden Jacobs, younger guys like that, are going to come in on specific packages, rotational-wise, to give guys a breather. I've never been the biggest fan of that, but that's to each his own in that sense. So, haven't been mostly pleased with the offensive line play, but I think to Luke's credit, they've been talking about building a rapport and a consistency there. And I think you're going to see that largely the same. And we'll find out tonight, injury report-wise, where things stand ahead with UNC.
Yeah, and that's also obviously going to be a big topic of discussion as we continue with Grayson Mann from TigerNet. All right, let's flip things on the defensive side of the ball. Jaheim Lawson was somebody that Sweeney bragged on extensively this week throughout the course of the pressers. What say you about the D-end rotation and what we can anticipate to see there going forward?
As someone who has been sort of characterized as the depth piece along that defensive line, I feel like Lawson's played up to his role well. And expectations, you have a guy like you bring in Will Helt for a reason. T.J. Parker has underwhelmed so far, so there has been attention on other defensive ends. And Lawson, to my surprise, has really performed well. I think he hasn't really gone out there and you're thinking, okay, the play's going to be called right to his side. They're going to run at him, and they're going to take advantage of a weakness on that defensive side. I think Lawson's played pretty good. Don't have any complaints about him per se. More of my gripes come with the starting defensive line and some of the effort that we've talked about and some of the plays where feels like your first-round guys aren't given first-round effort, and that's a discussion for another time. But as far as Lawson's concerned, Sweeney's praise is absolutely correct.
Yeah, and I think Lawson's a guy as well. You know, his brother tweeted that Clemson had no dogs.
Which is something, crazy. Right? Your own brother's on the team. So yeah. I get that in a sense, though, because sometimes siblings will riff with each other.
Of course, yeah.
And you're going to give them a hard time. In that case, you're talking about the team as a collective. So I don't think he's necessarily taking a shot at his sibling there, but he could.
I agree. Maybe that fired up Jaheim Lawson and sparked some of that great performance we saw last week against Syracuse. Yeah, I do think there's some legitimacy to that. All right, final question before we take a quick break, Grayson. It's going to stay on the defensive side of the ball at tackle. Amari Adams, is that a guy that we can anticipate to see a little bit more going forward? I feel like I know we're asking questions that are stemming from the same tree here, but it feels like if there's a natural time to break in some of the youth, it's when you're 1-3 and on a back-to-back road trip at North Carolina and Boston College where you're going to be 2-touchdown-plus favorites to beat both of those foes.
Right, and Amari was balling at the start of camp.
That's what I mean.
And he was as advertised. I had written about it. We had asked coaches about it and gotten incredibly rave reviews, and then he gets hurt. He sprains his ankle, and that's a tough injury to come back from, especially at that position where there's so much power predicated at that spot. So I expect him to be more involved as the season goes on. There's going to be more wear and tear to the guys up front, so it's only natural to conclude that someone like Adams is going to get more playing time as we roll on. I'd expect this to sort of be like a 2023-esque vibe where a lot of the freshmen as the season goes on, you're going to see them a lot more. They're going to make a lot of plays, and I think that'll get people excited about what's to come.
Yeah, definitely tend to agree with you there. All right, 654-ROAR is the number if you guys would like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. We're going to continue with Grayson Mann from TigerNet as a part of our TigerNet Thursday segments right here on the Roar with Faxon Sports. Stick with us through a quick break.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Attention listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? Well, at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with the Metabolic Reset System. Their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. Plus, they're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results. I can attest, I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks. I've kept it off for years. No starving, no workouts, no risky drugs, just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off permanently. For radio listeners only, they are sweetening the pot for you by waiving your consultation fee, getting you 2 extra weeks of the program free, covering the cost of food during the program, and just for booking, you'll receive their 5 steps to reset the scale book for free. But don't wait. The guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. Call 864-644-1900 now and mention code New Year. That's 864-644-1900. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Lennox in the Air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand-new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the 5 counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Final hour of the program continues here on a Thursday with Faxon Childress and John Hite here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. We've got Grayson Mann from TigerNet in studio as a part of his weekly TigerNet Thursday segment. Going to continue to talk some Clemson football. If you have questions, commentary, more, 654-ROAR is the number. We usually don't take phone calls during this segment, but Deem wants to check in, and I'm intrigued with what Deem's got to say, so let's take one. Deem, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. You with us? And we're going to throw him on hold. You know what? Yeah, maybe that's something we got to push to the next segment. But Grayson, let me give you a quick lay of the land as to where we're going to gear things here in this segment. All right, we're going to talk a little more Clemson football. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the weeds on North Carolina. We're going to talk a little bit more North Carolina football and just kind of talk a little bit about what we want to see this upcoming weekend and talk about North Carolina's player personnel, their groupings and all of that as well. But on the back end, I got to give you your 5 minutes of fame, so don't let me forget because your Patriots just went completely gangster mode on the Panthers last week, and I got to give you a little bit of credit. So let's hop right back into the Clemson stuff on the defensive side of the ball. What are we anticipating to see from the secondary, which is the last position group to cover before we shift gears to North Carolina?
Yeah, I think that we look at Avion Terrell, and you watch sort of the tape that he's put out in the first 4 weeks. I do think he's lived up to that expectation that fans set out for him. He's been your true island DB. CB1 has locked it down. Obviously, when you're 1-3, things cave in and everyone's to blame, but I think Terrell's played pretty well.
Avion was balling like, against Syracuse, man.
He's what they call a dog out there. CB2, though, Ashton Hampton, Jaden Lucas, Brandon Strozier, there's a reason there's been a rotation. They haven't found the secret sauce at that position yet. It hasn't been very good. Safeties, I've been relatively pleased with, just given it's the inexperienced position. Ronan Hanifin has been playing like his head's on fire every single down. Ricardo Jones is out there. He's growing. He's learning. But that's a group that I expect to get better over time. Was one of the groups that we had characterized as troublesome or worries before the season started. So they're progressing like I think they should. And so I'm not entirely worried about the secondary as a whole besides CB2. But I don't think that'll be a problem against North Carolina.
That's what's going to lead me to my next point, which is this is an offense that's been dormant for the majority of the season.
They're hibernating.
Against power or competition, North Carolina's just been absolutely atrocious. Legitimately, I think there's an argument to be made that this is the worst team in the entirety of Power 4 in North Carolina. I think you could make the argument. And they're two games against Power 4 thus far. 48-14 loss against TCU, in which they scored on the first drive of the game. Team stats in that one, 222 total yards, passing 172 yards at 8.2 yards per pass with an interception, one touchdown. They were 1 of 10 on third down in that game, and they ran the ball for 50 yards at 1.8 yards per rush. You go to their other game against power competition, which is against Central Florida. Scott Frost has taken that program back over. They put up 9 points. Gio Lopez goes 11 for 14 for 87 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. He's replaced by Max Johnson, who comes in and goes 11 of 19 for 67 yards. One touchdown and no picks. Running the football, 25 carries for 63 yards at a 2.5 yard per carry clip, and they score 9 total points. Third down efficiency in this one, 5 of 13, 3 of 4 on fourth down would be the saving grace there. They've also lost time of possession in an overwhelming fashion in both of their games against power competition. So, with that being said, what can we anticipate to see from this North Carolina offensive group on Saturday?
Based on the data you've thrown out, I would say not a lot, but it's one of those interesting matchups where both teams are incredibly reeling and desperate for a win. North Carolina's just not a good football team, and there's not in a case of Clemson where you could make the reasonable argument that there's still talent on this roster and at some point they have to figure it out. North Carolina's searching for answers, and with the way Belichick came in, it was a little bit later. They were sort of fishing at the bottom of the barrel when it came to the portal, and so you brought in who you could at that point. And so the Tar Heels were already at a talent deficiency. It hasn't necessarily worked. There's obviously all the distractions that Belichick has brought. And so this is a game that I think many coined as interesting beforehand. And I'd argue it's even more fascinating because who's going to continue to fall down this descent further? Is it going to be Dabo Swinney and this Clemson team that I'd say this win is definitely a must win when you come to this is a team that's in North Carolina that when you look at it statistically, it's a team that shouldn't be able to even compete on the field with Clemson's caliber of talent, even with all the struggles that Clemson has had. I'd argue Troy could beat this North Carolina team in a pretty handled fashion.
Yeah.
So this is one of those games. This is your get-back game if you're Dabo Swinney. Get this ship back on course in some semblance of a direction before you head up to Boston College. It's a team where obviously you have this massive coaching caliber Hall of Famer on the other side, but that's not a Hall of Fame team. That's not the 2016 Patriots out there. This is a pretty bad North Carolina team, and Clemson needs to handle business.
Yeah, and John, you've used the phrase, if not now, then never, for this Clemson team, and I think that's more than fair to assess this team headed into this weekend. Now, I want to ask you about motivation factor. Do we think that there's an extra motivation or incentive for North Carolina as they're kind of bridging into the world of their conference play and have a chance to hit the reset button, right? Because there is the element of going into conference play, having a fresh, clean slate, and they're coming off of a bye week, and they're playing a big brand in Clemson. So I don't want to overlook this Tar Heel roster or team, even though on paper it looks pretty atrocious.
I think that there is, certainly. Coach Sweeney's credit, when he said earlier this week, you've won the league 8 out of 10 years. That's known also across the league, not just here in the upstate, right? It has not gone well, but boy, would Michael Lombardi love to make the rounds on every show that would have him next week after a win over Clemson, right? So, yeah, there's going to be some of that. But I also think you have a chance to see Clemson's coaches a little bit more motivated in this spot. Because what is one thing that this staff has done since they have taken this job? They've gone behind a camera and behind a microphone and at every opportunity basically called college football a lesser than product in sport, and those who do are lesser than from a football standpoint than they are.
Yeah.
That they have come down to grace us with their presence and their big brains.
33rd NFL team, baby.
Right? Like, they're carrying themselves the way Charlie Weiss said, this is before all y'all's time, but like how he carried himself when he took the Notre Dame job of, I have an NFL brain, I'm smarter than all of you.
Yep.
Like, I hope that there is an opportunity. Granted, I don't know if this team can pull it off because I haven't seen this team do hardly of anything of merit this year.
They beat Richmond, John.
No, I'm talking about ours. I'm talking about Clemson. Oh. I haven't seen Clemson do anything of merit this year. But like, I do think that if you have a chance to run it up or to get an extra touchdown or do something, I think this coaching staff would do it just for the sake of, you're really going to come down here after not winning squat without Tom Brady? I'm not trying to like make this a Patriots thing here, but like, what organizations did Michael Lombardi lead that were so successful?
That's a great point. And I do think that there's a little bit of, you know what? It's a match made in heaven from a superiority complex perspective with that fan base, John. It really is it fits like a glove. They think they're better than everybody. Well, so does North Carolina. North Carolina thinks they're better than everybody too. So why aren't we winning football games? That feels like a natural question to ask right now. And I definitely hope that one doesn't come back to bite me this weekend. But in all seriousness, I do want to shift gears here with the discourse before we talk a little NFL. And I want to ask both you and John about Clemson's success or lack thereof after the bye week in recent years. It's something that's irrefutable. Again, I'm very data driven because it's the best way to be objective and to take the emotions out of things. Last 4 years for Clemson after the bye week. 2021, 17-14 win at home over Syracuse. We all remember that one. 2022, 35-14 mollywhopping in South Bend. I was there for that one, sitting next to Mr. Neff in the press box, and neither of us were too happy. I was also not happy at the 11-hour subsequent drive back to the state of South Carolina.
That one was brutal.
Yeah, did that overnight as well. Would not suggest, not a good decision. 28-20 to Miami, where Cade pulls the ball in overtime and Will Shipley fumbled on the one and Emory Williams beat you. And then last year, you were 1-1 with a 59-35 win over NC State and a 33-21 loss to Louisville. So dating back to 2021, in the last four seasons of Clemson football, you are 2-3 in the five games coming after a bye week, and your two wins are over NC State and Syracuse by 3 and by 24, respectively. Is this a reason to be concerned about Clemson headed into the week? Is this a trend that Clemson is going to break? Or is this just a minute sample size of data that there's not a ton of correlation causation with? What are your thoughts on this? Is this more of a narrative or is this a real thing?
I think with a team like this, you have to consider every point of data. And so when you look at a recent trend this decade, and it's almost a half decade's worth of data that you're pulling from 2021, that this team has not come out incredibly focused out of the bye. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's the lack of rhythm sometimes. We've seen this Clemson team, particularly in 2024, in between North Carolina State and Louisville, you're winning all these games, you're putting up all these points, but there was that point in the back that was creeping around, and it was that run defense that was eventually going to get you. And Isaac Brown and Louisville eventually came to collect in Death Valley in November. So there is certain reason to be concerned, especially you're heading on the road. There's always that weird, I know that we've been kind of downing on it, but there's always something that Belichick may be able to pull out with this Clemson offense that rattles Klubnik or this group. So maybe there's something there they got under their sleeve for conference play. I would never trust the thing there. So it's a weird game. It's a weird team, weird environment. Maybe there's cause for concern. This team's 1-3. They haven't given me a reason to not be concerned.
Yeah, definitely. John, talk to me a little bit about the bye week and the lore with that as far as what history showcases. And does that increase your level of concern headed up to Chapel Hill this weekend? Or do you think that the priorities and the concerns for Clemson are different right now?
It doesn't really worry me going into this weekend because this 2025 team does enough things on their own that give me reason for worry in this spot. Like, I just want to know, do they care? Do they care? Is the effort going to be there? And, you know, I think you can draw a conclusion with using previous year's bye weeks. I think there is a lot of valid points being made through it. But for me, with this particular team, because it is against all the trends that we have seen historically with Clemson football under Coach Sweeney, I mean, we're seeing things this year that we haven't seen in 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this so is I have a tough time pulling on some of the previous year's stats. Not saying that you're wrong to bring them up in the slightest. I just have a tough time applying them here because I don't know if I can apply any logic, rhyme, or reason to what is happening with this team.
It's been a trend-shattering season.
Absolutely.
The trends that Clemson has followed traditionally for the last 10, 15 years of this program have not been applicable this year, so I think that's fair to say. Maybe Clemson goes out and goes complete war gangster mode and wins by 59 points this weekend, and the bye narrative is gone for forever. Maybe you lose and it furthers the narrative. It could go either way. Like, there is not a ton of what we have seen showcased from this Clemson football team this season that aligns with what the past track record of this program is, and that feels fair to say right now. All right. Grayson, before we let you get out of here, just give me a little mini prediction as to what you feel like is going to happen this Saturday. If you'd like to feel a little bit spicy and throw in a score, we would also accept that here.
Okay, a little spicy. I do think this is Clemson's get-back game. Now, while I don't think Clemson as a whole we're going to come out of this and go, man, this season's back, baby. Like, this has been turned around. I do think that Clemson, on paper, this is a game they should win. This is a game they should win comfortably. I'm going to say Clemson wins this one 34-17. I think they're going to take North Carolina. It's going to be a dominant performance, even where you could be saying that 34-17 is closer than maybe the score looks closer than what it was actually. I do think at some point, and this is maybe the last time you do it, and I've been burned picking Clemson before this year, but I think in this case, with what North Carolina has shown us, it's not going to get any better all of a sudden against a team that's widely more talented than them. So we'll see how it all goes. I think Clemson's going to take care of business big time.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'll save our score predictions being John and I's for tomorrow at Chick-fil-A because we're looking forward to that. All right. Was not looking forward to this.
Let's hear it.
Patriots beat up on the Panthers. Go ahead.
That's interesting that we talked about this certain team last week. I'm just going to set the scene. We're talking about a certain group chat that I'm in with Faxon, and he said that the Carolina Reaper's coming for us?
Carolina Reaper.
And I sent back the picture of all those guys sleeping on the plane. I think it was. It might have been a different group chat. I don't know. But New England was a better football team.
They are.
They were beforehand. And I know that the Carolina Panthers are dealing with some injuries at wide receiver.
They're dealing with injuries to their whole team.
That first drive did concern me. But once New England tightened up, they played a complete game in all three phases. They tackled better. Drake May played really well. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to take a massive victory lap because we're 2-2 for the first time since 2020.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm just happy that they won.
Okay.
They took care of business. And
respect.
I'll take a victory lap if they beat Buffalo on Sunday, which is not happening. But
I'll be rooting for you on Sunday.
I'm hoping for it. I'm hoping New England's an annoyance on Sunday night. That's my hope.
Is it Marcus Jones is the punt returner,
yep,
correct?
He had more yards than the Panthers did for a long time.
That young man, my gosh. What did he break, six tackles on the first punt return touchdown? It felt like he was dead to rights. And
I don't know why they're punting to him, because he's housed punt returns before. He's won New England a game on his own against the Jets 2 years ago.
I don't get it either.
And then
Grayson,
they did it again.
And they continued to punt to him and give up punt return touchdowns. I tweeted that I would have cut everybody on the punt fielding team.
You needed to. Poor Bryce.
This is why I couldn't ever be a GM or a coach. I would be way too quick with a hook. But Grayson, before I let you get out of here, plug your stuff and let me know where. Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, hold on. Last thing. We hit 5 under as a 4-man scramble this last weekend.
That's right,
on the golf course. And I'm a little bit proud of that because I'm getting better. And Grayson's getting better too.
That was a legendary performance.
We're both like very, very terrible. So like, please bear with us at home. If you're like a golf aficionado, I've played 18 holes 3 times in my life, but we're having some development right now, man.
There were some clutch putts. I would say that So we bring on Mr. Toby Corson. I hope he's listening right now, so yes. I can give him his flowers. That man is basically the second coming of Tiger Woods.
Toby's carrying
that
us.
That man can rip it, and he was being pretty critical of himself on the course. So the three of us, me, Griffin, and Faxon, had to kind of step up a little bit.
Yes.
Make sure we kept the ship going till he took over, till about the latter half of the back nine.
Yeah.
And once he did, I knew we were getting to that targeted score. We all contributed. Faxon's getting a lot better. Are we doing it again this weekend?
I think we might be going again this weekend. Yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm getting the golf itch, man. I never thought I would be this guy, but I'm starting to get it. Like people got in on the text line when I said I'd never played 18 holes, and they're like, what? How is that even possible? Yeah. And I was just like, it's never my thing. I don't have the patience for it. But I've taken it. You know what? I'm proud of myself. I'm going to give myself a rare moment. I'm giving myself a pat on the back. I'm not getting frustrated out there. I'm taking the punches. I'm learning. I'm being mature about it. We're having some growth.
We've had some shots where we're hitting like potentially other people or homes, and we're putting a smile on our faces. You know what I think it is too? It's the Pop-Tarts that I pack.
It is the Pop-Tarts.
I got to say, I'm the snack aficionado of the group.
Yeah, me post-snack, those two or three holes, I'm always money.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
I basically give us a birdie at that point.
You got to give the fuel. But Grayson, plug your stuff and we'll let you get out of here. Safe travels up to Chapel Hill this weekend, my friend.
Appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at gray_man21. But more importantly, be sure to check out tigernet.com and check out our YouTube page. We're going to have a podcast interview with Chapel Fowler today. And Faxon is going to be coming on the show for Fridays with Faxon, as he always does.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait, man.
I've got a great track record with my picks on Fridays
with
Faxon for every team but Clemson. I think I'm 0-4 on Clemson picks, and I'm pretty sure I'm like 80-something% on the rest of the country for whatever reason in that. But the games that you pick for not Clemson, I don't know what games you're selecting. Keep selecting them because I'm killing it right now. Lord knows the Clemson prediction won't be correct. Goodness gracious. Grayson Mann with Tiger Net Thursdays, everybody. Great job, Grayson. Appreciate you wholeheartedly.
I appreciate it. God bless y'all.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got Gamecock James and Jason loaded up on the phone lines if you'd like to beat the buzzer with them. 654-ROAR is the number. Faxon Childress, John Height, continuing with Faxon Sports here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar.
After a week away, Clemson football is back on Saturday as the Tigers travel to Chapel Hill to take on the North Carolina Tar Heels. And we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show, Tiger tailgate show at 9 a.m. with Faxon and crew. Then at noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie have the call of the game. And Donnell Clark and I will take it through postgame with the fifth quarter show. All in a day's work on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
The Club Car Onward Golf Cart is now available at Golf Cart Service in Spartanburg. This cart has the history of having superior design and performance compared to regular carts. These are the carts used at resorts, RV parks, beaches, and golf course neighborhoods. Dream up your cart design and let Golf Cart Service build it for you. Golf Cart Service is your authorized club car dealer in the upstate where you can get an Onward cart today. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, to learn more, or visit us at 699 Southport Road. Get your Club Car Onward today and really enjoy life.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around a baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turfgrass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Did you know you can get paid to increase your home's comfort and efficiency? Contact Koala Insulation to see how to increase comfort and lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Right now, you can also get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. The tax credits give homeowners 30% back in tax credits from their insulation upgrade, up to $1,200. But these tax incentives are expiring at the end of 2025 and will not return. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville at 864-867-1779 today to learn more.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute, bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. from Jive Talking to Staying Alive. This high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Get ready to discover incredible savings with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Say goodbye to seasonal worries and embrace year-round savings by adding gas appliances with cash rebates to your home. But that's not all. Call the office now and find out how you may qualify for residential volume user rate, adding even more value to your energy savings. Ready to start saving big? Visit FHNGA.com and explore the rebate page for more details.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition, and go Tigers!
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day. Kick it!
Final segment of the program. Here on a Thursday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. That's what Gamecock James would like to do on the phone lines. James, it's always a pleasure, man. How we doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
I've got about five games on that contest that I wanted to see what your thoughts were. I didn't know if you could mention them now, or just tell me when you're going to talk about them, and I'll listen.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can rip them now, but we'll probably run through the whole slate again tomorrow at Chick-fil-A on our live show. But yeah, throw some games at me, and we can give you our opinions.
These are to me. This is the toughest week so far. Iowa State at Cincinnati. I was saying that you. I think you mentioned you might take Cincinnati on that one.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Cincinnati. I like Sorsby a lot, their quarterback. I think they're playing motivated football right now, and I think that home field advantage at Nippert Stadium is more impactful than people realize. I also think the skis are a little bit too high on Iowa State right now. I think they're more of a byproduct of their schedule than the actual quality of their football team, so I'm leaning towards the Bearcats there, James. I like Cincy.
Okay. I'll mention these others, and then you can answer them tomorrow, and I'll listen.
Okay.
Air Force at Navy, Michigan State at Nebraska, Bandy at Alabama, and Mississippi State at Texas A&M. To me, those are four tough ones to go pick.
Those are tough. Hey, appreciate you checking in, James.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. On those, I said that at the beginning of the show too, John. I'm in a freaking pickle with what I'm doing in the pick'em this week. Oh my gosh, like this is. How am I supposed to predict Air Force Navy? I don't know what in the world's going to go on. You got any advice here?
Navy is, I believe, currently undefeated. Air Force is bad.
Air Force is bad.
Spoiler, I took Navy. That was one of my easier ones this week. I think we are focusing a little too much on Army and Air Force being bad. I still think Navy's pretty solid.
Okay. The next game that he mentioned was that Michigan State-Nebraska game, Childs versus Riola. I don't think either of these teams are bad.
But I don't think either team is good.
Correct.
Both teams are turnover prone. Both quarterbacks are turnover prone. It's going to be a very entertaining football game. What's the number, 11.5 that we're playing?
Yeah, that's 40, man. That's a lot of points.
Big number. It's a big number. I don't like how big that number is.
Yeah, neither do I. And then Alabama-Vanderbilt, we'll save our preview on that one for tomorrow as well. Let's get Jason and Columbia in here so we can have enough time before we have to get off the air. Jason, are you calling in a full body cast like your Niners? Or is everything good in your world down in Columbia?
You know, I actually just saw, guys, tonight's Rams-Niners game is apparently being rated TVMA, Hide the Women and Children. Not fit for public consumption. Man, this is going to be ugly. I tell you what, guys, if you can name all five wide receivers that are going to be up for the Niners tonight, then you need to go out and buy a Powerball, because you got as much chance picking the winning numbers on the Powerball ticket than you do naming. I mean, give me an MVS sighting. Marquez
Valdez-Scantling. Right. Yeah.
My God. I mean, this is going to be hideous. So,
are we getting DeMarcus Robinson tonight? Are we just getting all of the Chiefs' washout wide receivers of the last 5 years that are all bad at football?
We're getting Sky Moore with two Ys. I mean, this is unbelievable.
No, wait, that's you actually have Sky Moore, too. You have the trifecta of Chiefs' washouts.
Well, I was going to say, could Grayson Mann, can he pull a deal to take Kendrick Bourne back to the Patriots? You know, Kendrick, I dropped three passes last Sunday, Bourne, after dancing around like he was Debo with the boombox. You don't get to go near the boombox, dude. That's Trent Williams, and that's it. Listen, I mean, I'm in a world of hurt here. Now, I do have to stick up because, man, I can't believe my favorite guys in the morning here are giving the Brock Purdy slander, man.
I'm sorry, you know, man.
And I mean, I just say, oh, my God, we got to be consistent, though, because I heard you. I think what I heard when you were talking about Cade Klubnik is that basically wins and losses are not a QB stat.
I don't think they are.
So my guy last year obviously had a bad win-loss record, but we know that the injuries the Niners dealt with. And what's crazy, though, is, man, you mentioned wanting to fire the punt return guys for Carolina.
Yes.
My God. The Niners last year, and this is not a joke, this is special teams EPA rankings dead last. And you saw that against the Jaguars, they still are terrible. The Niners have rotated special teams coaches, and they supposedly have a guru, and that was ugly, 87-yarder right after Kendrick Bourne dropped a third-down conversion, by the way. But, you know, last year, we know what the Niners dealt with, and Brock didn't have a great year by any means. But, I mean, the total offense for the Niners was fourth. The problem was the scoring defense was 29th. And the special teams was dead last. So, you know, I'm honestly kind of angry with the Niners right now, because I think it was obvious when you watch Brock Purdy against Jacksonville, he couldn't step into his throws. And the beat writers were saying he was high all week long in practice. Now, I think one of the problems is Mac was dinged up, too. He got injured in the last game. But, you know, I'm very concerned about that turf toe. You know, that always sounds like such an innocuous injury. That's why Joe Burrow is missing the season right now. He had to have the turf toe surgery. So if I was the Niners, I would rest Brock as long as you can. You know, and here's what's crazy, guys. Brock Purdy's sixth in the NFL this season in QBR. Now, he's only played two games. And like you said, you know, I think it was last week you mentioned that Sam Darnold was playing some of the best ball in the NFL this season at quarterback. When they matched up in the first week, Brock Purdy had a 30-point advantage in QBR. I mean, that's crazy. He crushed Darnold head-to-head in that game. So, I mean, Purdy, I have no problems with Brock Purdy. I mean, he needs to play better. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, one of the things, too, about his contract, guys, is it's very easy for the Niners to get off of it, either if they want to do it next year or the year after that. So we'll see how things play out. But I do just want to see this guy get healthy, man. There's no point in rushing him out there. The Niners are so devastated with injuries. Maybe they can hang on for a wild card spot. I mean, here's the other thing, guys. The first game without Nick Bosa on the defense, did you guys realize they didn't even get a quarterback hit on Trevor? That's the first time that's happened to the Niners since 2015. That doesn't bode well, man, for the rest of the season. I'm very concerned, dude. Yeah.
Is that the first time Trevor hasn't been hit in a game since college? Or maybe even high school.
Yeah, it might have been high school. Okay, so here's the thing on Purdy. And Jason, I will say this. I think we're probably a little bit closer than you realize. All right. Number one, Brock Purdy should not be anywhere near the field as a $55 million quarterback if he's not 100% healthy. That's an organizational failure, and playing him this past weekend was a mistake. Because you're right, he was not healthy. He was not stepping into his throws. He was not comfortable within the pocket. And if, just to be candid, if he's not giving you that mobility and that creativity outside of structure, there's not really that big of a difference between him and Mac Jones. Like, that's what makes Purdy worth the money to the people that believe that he's worth that dollar, is his ability to create outside of structure, his ability to use his legs as a plus, and his ability to just be a guy that's dynamic with the football. Here's something that's a little concerning to me. Passer rating on play action passes through 4 weeks. Mac Jones is at 126.2. Brock Purdy's at 65, okay? And then we roll down some more, like, data points. And again, I'm not pro or anti-Purdy. I think he's overpaid, but I also think the Niners were kind of stuck in a situation where they had to pay him, and I also do think the contract's pretty easy to get off of. He's also thrown an interception in 8 consecutive starts. He has 8 interceptions in his past 5 starts and 20 interceptions in his last 19 regular season starts. And we know how important ball security is in the National Football League. I think that Brock Purdy is a fine to good quarterback that is good enough to win a Super Bowl in San Francisco if the infrastructure is really good around him. The issue is, I think that window might have closed for your Niners as far as the infrastructure, because CMC does not look the same. I'm more concerned about CMC than I am about Brock Purdy right now, to be completely honest with you, Jason. It looks to me like he's lost a step. Brock Purdy's a good player. He's going to come in whenever he's healthy, and he's playing in a Shanahan system, and he's got the feel, and he's got the touch, and he's got the unison with the wide receiving group, and he's going to play good football. He's not a game changer. He's not some transcendent talent. There's a reason he was picked in the 7th round, but he's good, and he's good enough to win if everything around him is in order. The issue is, the whole defense is dead with injuries. The whole wide receiving corps is dead with injuries, including your tight end that's, I think, is the best player in football darn near when he's healthy, and Kittle. And then CMC looks a step slow to me. Maybe I'm overreacting, John. You can correct me if you feel like I'm out of line here, but CMC does not look the same to me this year.
No, I was just about to say. But other than that, Jason, everything's going great for your team. I do agree with the McCaffrey part of it, though. He has, I do believe the amount of injuries that he's accumulated over a decade now are starting to rack up.
Well, here's the other thing, John, in fact, and you're dead on. And I was watching Brian Baldinger and Greg Cosell. Both of those guys were on the San Francisco stations talking about this week. The Niners are like, CMC is, his average point of contact once he gets the ball is like 1 yard. They are not blocking anything up for him, because neither he nor Robinson, I mean, you think like, man, that's a loaded backfield. We should be crushing people with the run, but it's just not happening. And that is like, it's messing with Shanahan's play action and stuff. And like you said, if Brock doesn't have the mobility, and the other thing, and I thought it was interesting, I'll get off with this. You know, one thing with Brock, you look at him and he does not look like an NFL quarterback. So you think, well, this guy must be a dink and dunker. No. He's like,
no, he can rip it.
In terms of highest yard per average in NFL history the first 3 seasons, this is insane, but Brock Purdy is number 1. Mahomes is 2, and Roethlisberger is 3, and some guy named Dan Marino's in there. So he wants to be able to rip it down the field and move it, but he can't step into his throws right now. And like you said, if things get off schedule, he cannot evade the pass rush like he normally can, which is, yes, you know, big part of his game. So I'm in agreement with you there. I'm hopeful that, I don't know, the one thing is maybe they rest him up. I feel so bad for Mac Jones, man. I'm worried about him tonight against that Rams defensive line, dude.
Yeah,
he's already hurt. Just got to get healthy, man. Yes, he's already compromised as well. So, I mean, tonight's going to be ugly, guys, but I don't know. Maybe they can, at some point in the season, get their dudes back and then maybe hold on and you know, make a wild card. But obviously, just the injury luck, man. Whoever put a hex on my Niners, please stop. They're already dead. As the Simpsons once said, he's already dead.
Yeah.
He's already dead. So
brutal injury luck. Jason, we appreciate the phone call as always. Let's catch up tomorrow after the game.
Yeah, that was a good one, fellas.
All right, appreciate it. All right, Tim, we have like 90 seconds. I'm sorry it took so long to get to you, Tim, but we got 90 seconds for some comments.
That's okay. I just want to make one comment about Cade.
Okay.
I don't think it's too early in the season. I don't think he's played as bad as a lot of people think. And comparing him to DJ is like salt and pepper. He ain't going to do it. I mean, ain't no comparison. He's still – as bad as it went this year, it's still night and day compared to what DJ did.
Yeah, I think there's
and
a lot of truth
Cade
to that.
Cade has had a lot of drop passes, and he's had people in his face a lot through three games.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing a decent job, but I think the big reason is still our defense. We're not playing salty. We're not playing mean. We're not playing aggressive.
Yeah.
Our linebackers are sitting back waiting too much instead of attacking.
I think there's a ton of truth to that, Tim. Like, to be honest, I think there's a ton of truth to that. I think the defense was a bigger issue than the offense against Syracuse. You gave up 10 points before you even touched the ball.
Yes, right.
Exactly. Hey, Tim, we got to get running here at the end of the show, but call back in more often, brother. We appreciate you.
All right, man. Yep.
Thank you, Tim. I agree with Tim for what it's worth. I think it's being overblown to a certain extent. He certainly has to play better, but the issues are widespread throughout this team. John, predictions for tonight. I really, really feel bad for Mac Jones.
Feel bad for Mac Jones. Go Red Sox. And Out of Bounds live from Clemson Sock Shop, downtown Pendleton, noon to 3. Go by and see the guys there. Downtown Pendleton, Clemson Sock Shop, Out of Bounds, noon to 3 today. Tigers for Tatas.
Give me the Guards, the Pods, and the Yankees tonight in Major League Baseball, and give me the Rams by a freaking billion. Mac Jones is probably going to get killed tonight. John, great job. Cade, thanks for sitting in on Job Shadowing Day. Tune in to William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds live in Pendleton from Clemson Sock Shop. See you tomorrow at 9.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5.